in the things that they need, in the help that they need. And it is the same Lord. The Lord came here to serve us, to help us, to protect us, to do things for us. So there are different manifestations, but the purpose of that is not to make you feel spiritual, is not to make you feel good about yourself, is not to boast you up, but is to enable you to receive to help somebody else. And finally, there are different diversities of activities. The activities there is chaos, which actually means works. If you want, from my point of view, the way I would translate it is different results. See, the final thing, the final purpose is to produce some results, some impact, some changes in people. And this is really what the purpose is. This is God, powers of God, creating. This is the creative act that these things do that produces results. Are you following what I'm saying? It says, but the manifestation, all these things are manifested in one way. Manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So you see, the purpose of these things is to benefit, it's to profit you. It's actually to train you in understanding how to operate in the Spirit, which is a dimension that you, as a human being, have not a clue. And that only God can show you, and that's the way He does, and puts you in contact with the spirit world through these gifts that are given to you by God, and they're not under your control. But He knows how to operate them, and if you are open, you are going to receive the direction, the understanding, the experience that you need to start be able to see things in a dimension that you are not used to and you are not able to have control over. One of the first things that big discussion that unless you are in a Pentecostal or full gospel church that you're going to be exposed to this doctrine anyway, you know, the gifts are not for today. Because the world doesn't support that. And the funny thing, and this is what I was sharing last week, is that they used exactly this scripture that says the opposite to back up their theory. And I'm going to show it to you today, and if you can hear me, then you're going to never be confused anymore about this stuff. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, after talking about love. So we can start from verse 8. You will see how the human mind is closed to see what the Holy Spirit says. Because I don't know how can anybody interpret things the way they've been interpreted. It says, verse 8, love never fails. But, and these are the things, whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, will vanish away. And they stop there. You see, these things are not needed anymore. They are going to be gone. Have you read the words? Because they do not understand that what he's talking about is explained in the verse coming after. You have to understand that he's not talking about prophecies in general. Because the prophecies that were given in the past, the prophecies in the Bible, the prophecies that Jesus gave, they'll last forever. So it's not true that they'll vanish and go away. If knowledge passes away, we become idiots. I mean, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the operation of the gifts. Okay, the way they are today is not going to be operating sometime in the future. Not because there is not going to be prophecy. Not because there is not going to be knowledge. But because the gifts are limited. The word of knowledge that you get is limited, is partial. You don't know the whole thing, you just know part of it. And this is because we are not in the fullness of the Spirit. But when the fullness of the Spirit is come, we are going to operate the way Jesus did, and our prophecy will be complete. And our knowledge will be complete. We are not going to be gaps anymore. We are going to have the fullness of it. Are you following what I'm saying? See, there is not going to be anymore looking through a darkened glass. We are going to see Him as He is, and we are going to see all things as He does. We aren't there yet, so we need the gifts today, because that's the only way we are going to get there. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, the implication here is enormous. Number one, the gifts aren't gone. Number two, we really need them, because if you want to get there, if you can prophesy partially now, how do you think you're going to fully prophesy in the future? What's going to give you the experience? Who is going to give you the knowledge that you need to be able to have the word? You know, a word of knowledge, you are just a little piece. You don't have the whole picture yet. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, the prophet of the Old Testament prophesied stuff. They didn't know what they were talking about. They only expressed the things as the Holy Spirit was speaking to them, and they understood a part of it. Even John the Baptist, which is declared by Jesus as the greatest prophet of them all, when he said, "This is the Son of God," and so on and so forth, he was prophesying, was under the anointing, but evidently he didn't get the whole picture, because after he was doubting about it. Now, if anybody has experience with prophecy, any experience, know that the ability that you have to prophesy is limited, is determined by the mind of the prophet. The limitation that is put. Your understanding of what you're saying is limited because it is interpreted by your limitations. The thing is, lots of people have no idea because they are not prophet and they want to explain prophecy when they are not qualified to do it. But if you have the Holy Spirit working on you and you have been able to prophesy, you know the limitation of prophecy or the word of knowledge, then you can see that what I'm saying is true. Now, you see, that scripture, instead of saying that these things are fading away, they're saying are fading away because it's going to be something much better coming. In fact, if you read the following verses, it says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." You see what it's saying? You know, we cannot, this is not the whole picture. And that was referring really to the gift of prophecies and the gift of knowledge. But when that which is perfect has come, that means when we are grown into Him, Jesus didn't prophesy in part. Have knowledge in part. He had the fullness of the Spirit. When we come to the place when we had the fullness of the Spirit, this is God's plan for us. Then those limitations are going to be removed from us. But when it will be done away, then that which is in part will be done away. It's not that the prophecy will be done away. It's the gift of prophecy is going to be done away with, because we are in the Spirit and we are going to speak prophecy when open our mouth. The way Jesus did. He didn't need to go around, "Yes, says that says the Lord." And they just, he talked to somebody and said, "Well, you know, I know you, you have 5 husbands or 5 wives. So, see, God doesn't want us to just become manifest in religion. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. And to be in the Spirit. And to be having the fullness of the Spirit. Let me continue because this is, it doesn't finish there. "But when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but then became a man and I put those things, childish things away." I mean, when you become a man, you don't stop talking, you don't stop, speaking, you don't stop understanding, you understand better. You see that he's reinforcing, every sentence saying, he's reinforcing more and more that concept. Okay. For now, we see in a mirror or in a glass, dimly or you know. But then face to face. Now we know in part, then we shall know just as also I am known. So, this is really clear. This cannot be explained any better. Anybody gets it? Okay. If you don't, I'll explain it to you later. I don't know how anybody can interpret it any other way. Because it's so clear, and you have to be just brainwashed or biased to interpret the other way. I mean, I know who is there trying to get people to think, to interpret the scripture the wrong way, and I know that he's the enemy, and that generally he's very successful at doing that. But the point is, here the scriptures say very clearly that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are only in part. Our knowledge is only in part. Okay, you may know a little word or two or a little part of the concept, but you don't know the whole story behind. When you have full knowledge, you don't see things through a glass, darkened glass. You see the whole picture. And you have the full knowledge. Because the Holy Spirit knows the whole story. So you see, gifts are important. Because if we don't have them, how are we going to get there? See, these are a gift from God, not because we deserve it, it's a gift. Okay? That enables us to have an experience that otherwise would not be possible. Because we aren't there, so as to open our eyes, give the experience so that we can start operating in a certain level that is not beyond our human capacity. And so, understanding that should put a desire inside us to have the gifts operating in us and should make us willing to be open to be used that way, because otherwise we are never going to get there where God wants us to get. We are never going to grow spiritually to the place where we can operate in the way Jesus operated. We can be thinking more of ourselves than we can actually are, because the Word of God says that we are more than conquerors, but we have no experience whatsoever. It's just up here, and there is no any ability in us to produce the things that the Word says. And are those gifts that enable us to see it in operation so that we start believing it and start thinking that it's possible, and it's not because of us, it's because the Holy Spirit is worked through us in our blindness, in our ignorance, and so on, to give us that ability to say, wait a minute, you know, you see what is there? You see the way it works? One of the things the Holy Spirit does is to bring us to things to pass. Show us the things that are going to be coming. And this is what's coming. That sometime we are going to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus did. And when that's the case, we are not going to be limited anymore. It's not going to be anymore as the Spirit will. But it's going to be as we will, because we are connected with the Spirit. Now, this has to happen more and more in our experience. Has to happen more and more as we grow and develop and connect with God. And it's not anymore it happens once every blue moon that something happens spiritually. It happens regularly and happens predictably. Jesus didn't need to go and say, oh, I wonder, you know, maybe, I don't know if God wants to heal you, you know, maybe I'll lay hands on you, let's see what happens. I don't see Jesus being there and questioning anybody about being healed. Crowds came to him, and he didn't send anybody away. He said, well, you know, I don't know if today is your day. How can he be so sure? Because he didn't depend on something that happens whenever it feels like it. So I think this should motivate us. Motivate us to want the gifts manifested in our life. To open ourselves up for them. To seek God so that we can learn to seek understanding in this area, so that we can receive those experiences that are going to bring us to a new level of life in general. And if we don't, we're never going to get there. Because otherwise, we are not going to have experience. Our Christianity is going to be limited to our thinking and our theology and our thing. That's the problem with Christianity today. That's just too mental. It's a combination. See, us to get down to our level, as to that we have to understand things in the spirit world. To understand, we have to have the background to do that. In the scripture, there are many lists of spiritual gifts, and actually there are three different ones. Really, he's talking about the same thing. There's not much difference. It's just looking at different aspect of the same thing. Although there are different lists, but the list don't need to be necessarily complete. So we start with the list that is generally given. Actually, I'm going to start with this, Ephesians, because what we need here is the Holy Spirit guiding us to really get the understanding that we need. If we have to get into a place in which we can receive from God understanding about things that are beyond our experience, otherwise we are never going to see them manifested. See, there is more than what we ever imagined there. I mean, don't tell me that you think you're already like Jesus. I mean, you can have some advances, some little manifestation of that. But we aren't quite there, are we? So, because we aren't quite there, we need the gifts. Because that's the way we are going to get there. It's not that the gifts are being there. And that's what's the problem with all the charismatic movement. The gifts are not the end of the story, are just the beginning. When we go and have to receive something that is so huge, we have to pray about it. We have to open up about it. And really the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 applies completely. You know, it says, you know, that the God of Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. See, we need that revelation. We need that knowledge about it. So that arise the understanding, be enlightened, that we may know the hope of his calling. See, that's what our hope is. It's going to be manifested. And what are the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints? It's ours. Praise the Lord. It's ours. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to them, working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised them from the dead and seated them at the right hand in heavenly places. In theory, we are sitting in heavenly places already. It's just that we haven't quite caught up with it. We are still very much on the ground. And that's the way it is. But we had to know and see. This is our hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when we had that hope, we clean up ourselves from all this other junk in the world, because you know that it's useless. It's banal. It's junk. Doesn't even appeal to you anymore. Because you know much better. Now you are not struggling with sin anymore, because when you get some understanding, they become so weak in even appealing to you. But certainly that's not going to be happening if you just focused on you being a mess and a sinner and you're struggling with it. You don't struggle anymore when the knowledge is inside you. Far above all principalities and power and dominion. You are, you know, you can be above all principalities and power and dominion, because Jesus is and is inside you. The Holy Spirit is. So, let's look at some of the ministries here. So, let's start with talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, generally what people think about are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit that are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay. They are divided in three groups. There are the gifts of power, the gifts of revelation, and the gift of inspiration. And the reason for that is that, you know, what he's focusing on here is that the gifts themselves, the way they manifest inside us. We have to understand them, and we have to realize their power, the what they do in us, the way they work, and their limitations. Because no matter what they are, you know, they are still limited. Because they are just a piece of the fullness of the Spirit. Okay, we can start from the beginning, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, actually it's not spiritual gifts, the word is pneumatikos in Greek, which means spiritual things. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. If you want spiritual manifestations. You know there were the Gentiles, you were Gentile and carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, funny doctrines came about this stuff, but I'm not going to go into this. But the fact, you know, so to make sure that one didn't have a demon movement, they say, oh, say that Jesus is Lord. You say, well, Jesus is Lord. Oh, then you don't have a demon. And nothing to do with that. It doesn't mean anything. He's talking about somebody speaking under the anointing, like in prophets, and saying that Jesus is Lord. Generally, if it's spoken in prophecy, that means that you, the Holy Spirit, is anointing you, just the same way as when Jesus asked Peter, who do you think I am? And he said, you are the Son of God. He said, this is not you speaking, it's the Father speaking in you. That's the difference. It's not that it's just somebody cannot say it. It's just that you have to see how you say it. Let's continue. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are differences of activities, but the same God who works all in all. I spoke on that before. I was giving the three different things. See, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So, the objective of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is to help people, to make them grow, and to help not just you, but everybody else. And most of the time is to help somebody else. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, and so on. Okay, so, word of wisdom. She doesn't say wisdom. It says word of wisdom. And the reason why it says word of wisdom is because it's not the whole wisdom that you need. It's a special aspect of the things that you need to know. See, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to know what to do in a certain situation. Okay. So the word of wisdom is a limited bit of information for you to be able to know what to do about that particular situation. That's all. But you don't know the whole picture. You don't understand the whole thing. You just have enough of an indication to be able to know what to do there. And if you do it, it works. Simple as that. The word of wisdom, the same Spirit. The word of knowledge, through the same Spirit. You know the knowledge, when you need knowledge about certain fact, so that you know things in a certain area, that give you a specific, limited knowledge that helps you. You don't have the whole knowledge, but when Jesus had full knowledge, Jesus had full wisdom for everything. He knew exactly what to do. Okay? To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now here is giving the nine gifts. Essentially, you know, the three gifts of power is healing, faith, and miracles. See, this is the stuff that makes things happen in the physical. The gifts of revelation that are discerning of spirits. All type of spirits, you know, just not demons, you know, just even the spirit of man. Discerning of spirits. Word of wisdom is still a revelation. Word of knowledge is still a revelation. Gift of inspiration, prophecy. You know, prophecy, the way it is to inspire people. This gift of prophecy is to encourage them, to minister to them. Prophecy is not knowing their stuff. You know, some people think that they're prophetically speaking when they know the things. But instead, that is a word of knowledge when you know something about people. It's not a prophecy. Prophecy, diverse tongues. You see, when you speak in tongues and somebody understands what you're saying, that they're from another place, that you're speaking, that's a gift of diverse tongues, which is very different from speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues, you speak to God. And you just communicate with them in a heavenly language, generally. But when you have a diversity of tongues, what you do is you speak a language actually people can understand. That's what was happening when the day of Pentecost, when everybody was there and they could hear them talking in their language. Well, I said, you know, happens here a couple of times. People were singing in tongues and people could understand what they were saying. They were coming from different countries. Finally, an interpretation of tongues, and this is when one prophesies in tongues, and there is somebody that understands what they were saying. That's again, even the interpretation is not, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit operating in you, and you just get the understanding of what they were prophesying about. So this shows you the type of gifts. I'm going to go more in detail maybe later on, but that is really what the nine gifts that generally are mentioned about the Holy Spirit is much more. You see, again, what are the gifts? Gifts is what Jesus gave us when he left. A gift to the church. So that the church can grow and change. Now, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 talks exactly about that and explains that. But they are the same operation of the gift. The nine gifts that we're talking about are operating in people. And some people have a function within the body of Christ. So, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, you know, but he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So you see, these are gifts given to the church for the purpose. But these people that are mentioned there have a component in them of the gifts that was mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Are you following me? So, for example, evidently a prophet has to have the gift of prophecy, but it's actually a bit different because the way a prophet operates is not the same thing as doing a prophecy in church. Let me continue you. See, the purpose of these things, Jesus gave them these things for a purpose. The purpose is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These gifts are for our equip us and for train us and to develop us. So that the body can do the things, you know, build up the body. So that the body can grow, can be stronger. And what the final purpose of that, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, and this is, you know, till we all come to the unity. The unity doesn't mean that the way the unity is done today, well, let's forget about the differences. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about the unity of the faith. What is the unity of the faith? The unity of, is the unity of pistis. Pistis is the unity of beliefs. So we all believe the same thing. It's not that we just forget about what you differ. You see, the purpose of the gift ministry to the church is to get people to believe the right thing so that we all can believe the same thing. It's not to just get together and to just have a meeting in which we forget about the denomination. The denomination are going to be taken away and removed from the world because they're going to be just not even the Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It cannot be. We cannot have one believe and another believe and be in unity. There is only one Christ. There is only one Holy Spirit. There is only one truth. Now, the Holy Spirit has to do a big job here, yet in the world, to remove all these different ideas, because every person think that they know they have the truth, and they're the only one knowing it. The thing is, the job of the people that are anointed by Christ, they're given to the church, is to remove that, not to say, let's forget about it. Those are false prophets, where you say that, because it doesn't agree with the word. Okay, so the unity of the faith, that means we believe the same thing. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Knowledge of the Son of God, really the word there is hipignosko, which is the full discernment of what Jesus is like. This is the same story that says many other places. How do we go? We have to be able to see him as he is, not the way religion or movie of Hollywood movies depict him. Only with Jesus is not Jesus of the cross or the Jesus of the Bible. They just show the physical things and they miss completely the point. So the idea is the full knowledge, full discernment of who Jesus is. That's what he wants. That's the job. To a perfect man. See, now he's transferring that to prepare us for unity, prepare us to be able to see completely Jesus the way he is, to a perfect man. This is what we want to bring us to perfection. To what perfection? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So this is the job of the ministry, to make us become like Christ. This is not something beyond our desire. It should be, oh, you think you are. Well, I think that God wants me to be like that. And if I am open for him to do the work that needs to be done in me, I'm going to become more and more like him because I am going to understand him better. Instead of putting him in an unreachable place because he was God. He was God, all right. But he came as man to show us how to be like him. That we should no longer be children. Tossed to and fro and coming about by every wind of doctrine. You see, he's just not going to be around believing any junk that comes around, any new waves or any new fad of Christianity that happens every second year or so. These things are not going to even bother, you're not going to even bother knowing about them anymore. Why? Because you know much better. You are not going to be tossed around anymore. If you are tossed around, if you are questioning, what's this? You're tossed around. If you are doubting about different things, you're tossed around. Doubting. Tossed around and to and fro, carrying out by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. People trying to get people to follow them. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things unto him. It's repeated all the time, this concept. We had to grow unto him. And that's not going to grow because you got a degree in theology. It's because you commune with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives you revelation of the truth. Who is the head? Christ. Unto him who is the head, Christ. You see, you become united. You become stable. You become not tossed around. You start to manifest the fullness of the Spirit. And with that, you start going even beyond the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because you're going to walk in the Spirit all the time. You're not going to see things in part anymore. Not through a darkened glass. but you see him face to face. So, here is showing, okay, first I was showing you the type of manifestation you're going to have. Now it's showing something else. It's going to really see how this manifestation in people are going to operate according to certain role that these people are going to have in some cases to help the church to grow. And then goes on, if you add, there is another section in which talk about another seven gifts. It's in Romans chapter 12. A different angle of looking at the same thing. This is gifts to satisfy practical functions or need or for operation in the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say to you, to say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think for himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And really, God made us that way. God has made us faith beings. But we have to operate according to the faith that is inside us, to the belief that it has, not according to what we think we are, you know, whatever. Because people get their head blown up by, oh, I'm this or the other. And it's not that the issue. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For we have been many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. You see, this is talking about functions here. So, by we being many, are one body and individual members of one another, having gifts. And the word here, gifts, is charisma. Differing according to the grace. The word here is charis. So, you know, he's talking about the same thing. The gifts are the manifestation of God. So given to us, I mean, God's gifts are gifts. It's a gift, but it's really what they are the power of God given to us. Enablement to do things. It's not being pious. It's not looking religious. Having gifts, differing according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. So he's talking about prophecy the way I was talking before. If ministry, let us use in our ministering. Now, ministry, just I don't like the word because it's too religious. What he's talking about, if he's serving, is he's helping people, just help people. You don't need to be called reverend to help people. Sometimes that's a problem. I don't like people to call me reverend. You revere him, not me. All right. Ministry or service, help, let us minister our ministering. He who teaches, teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, in liberality. He who leads, you see, leading is a spiritual thing. True leadership, it comes from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, there is a difference between somebody anointed to lead and somebody that's trying to boss around people. Okay? And it's the Spirit that is behind. They both tell people what to do. Hello? If there are no leaders, you get nowhere. But you have to see the Spirit behind the leadership. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy. Show mercy, in the word is compassion, really. Show compassion with cheerfulness. Don't go around, you know, being so pulled down by everybody. You have to lift them up. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. So this is, you show that there are, you see, he's talking really about the same thing. There are, you know, probably, possibly even more gifts than this, you know, in a way, if you want to classify stuff. The Holy Spirit works in different ways, in different people, according to their personality. And so there are going to be different manifestations of His power, of His anointing. But they are always going to be for the good of everybody, not for the good just so that I'm going to feel spiritual. Okay? They're going to be influencing us and others to be able to see and understand how the spirit world works, because otherwise we have not a clue. And when that happens, what happens, we are going to be able to be developed into the people that are going to be able to see Jesus the way He is, and He's going to be operating like He did in the fullness of the Spirit. Then the gifts are not going to be limited anymore the way they are today, because there is just a word of knowledge, you know, a limited prophecy in which we understand half of what we are saying, like the Old Testament did. But we are going to see fullness, because the veil is removed and we have the fullness of the Spirit working in us. This is where God wants to bring us. These are why the gifts are given to us. This is why we should need the gift. We should want the gift, and we should be open to the gift to operate in us. Are you following what I'm saying? When the gifts started to be manifested in the charismatic renewal, the understanding of that was that much. There is much more than what people thought in those days. When we understand the way to operate in them, then we are going to benefit. The whole church is going to benefit. The whole church is going to grow into unity, because our ideas or our interpretation or our theories are going to just fall apart. And the truth will prevail. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord is good. His plan is better than all plans of man. And His word is the source that is going to give us the truth when we are going to read what is written there instead of what people interpreted because of their blind. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer for today. You get anything? Praise the Lord. Father, thank You. Thank You for, Lord, Your Holy Spirit bringing to us the understanding and knowledge that we need. Give us, Lord, the ability to grasp and to receive, Lord, everything You have done, that we may give glory to the Father through the way the Holy Spirit works in us. We thank You and praise You, Lord, that we know that You guide us. You are for us, and that we can trust You, Lord, with everything. In Jesus' name, amen.